doing whatever it could to end the controversy, even if it required backtracking on its endorsement. Klein pointed out to Youssef that Obama had called Hamas a terrorist organization that should remain isolated until it renounces violence and recognizes Israel. Youssef chalked up Obama's statements to political posturing. "I understand American politics, and this is the season for elections, and everybody tries to sound like he's a friend of the Israelis." Youssef was saying he and his fellow terrorists accepted that Obama would say whatever he had to say just to get elected. Obama promises to talk with our enemies without preconditions. Obama's promise to talk with avowed enemies of the United States can be traced back to the CNN YouTube primary debate in Charleston, South Carolina, on July 23, 2008. A pre-recorded question from a viewer asked, "In the spirit of bold leadership, would you be willing to meet separately, without precondition, during the first year of your administration, in Washington or anywhere else, with the leaders of Iran, Syria, Venezuela, Cuba, and North Korea, in order to bridge the gap that divides our countries?" Obama answered first, affirming instantly, "I would." And the reason is this: that the notion that somehow not talking to countries is punishment to them, which has been the guiding principle of this administration, is ridiculous. In follow-up questions, Obama agreed to meet with a real rogues gallery without preconditions: Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Bashar al-Assad, Hugo Chavez, Fidel Castro, and Kim Jong-il. The video clip of Obama's answer can be played over and over in opposition television commercials in the general election, forcing Obama to either support this position or explain later qualifications in a nuanced answer, unlikely to make points with voters. Hillary Clinton was the first to criticize Obama right then and there. She indicated she wanted to return to pursue diplomacy aggressively, but she cautioned, "But certainly we're not going to just have our president meet with Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez, and, you know, the president of North Korea, Iran, and Syria, until we know better what the way forward would be." Obama should know that diplomacy has not always been a successful foreign policy ploy for Democratic presidents. Many attribute the building of the Berlin Wall and the Cuban Missile Crisis to miscalculations Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev made, judging President John F. Kennedy as weak after Kennedy's poor performance at the summit meeting in Vienna on June 4, 1961. Kennedy had just come off the failure of the Bay of Pigs invasion, and most observers felt Khrushchev held the edge in his one-on-one talks with JFK. Yet liberal Democratic senators running for president, for some reason, think they will look like leaders if they campaign on their willingness to meet with dictators. The Democratic Party appears to have amnesia over the total failure of the Clinton-Albright-Carter team to produce results with either Iran or North Korea, despite all the diplomacy they tried and all the face-to-face meetings they held. On May 15, 2008, President Bush addressed the Israeli Knesset in Jerusalem on the occasion of the 60th anniversary of Israel. Without mentioning anyone by name, Bush recalled the statement of a U.S. senator who felt he could have stopped Hitler from invading Poland in 1939 if only he had the chance to talk with Hitler in advance. Senator Obama decided the comment was aimed at him and took offense, a decision that put appeasement front and center in the presidential contest. Obama decided to blast Bush, saying his comments on appeasement were exactly the appalling attack that's divided our country and alienates us from the rest of the world. Obama defended himself, insisting he would pursue diplomacy aggressively. But the more Obama explained his position, the less distinct his approach began to seem. Responding to questions from news reporters, Obama admitted he would first work through administration operatives before he, as president, would meet with an enemy head of state. Obama also hedged, saying he would have preconditions, trying to sidestep an appearance he would negotiate with Hamas, for instance, unless Hamas dropped its insistence that the state of Israel must be destroyed. The more Obama retreated into government-to-government negotiations preceding head-of-state summits, and the more he hedged that there would have to be conditions before meetings could be held with terrorist states, the less sharp was the distinction Obama was advocating. In the final analysis, what would Obama say to Iran in a face-to-face meeting with Ahmadinejad that has not already been communicated? Iran understands the United States wants Iran to stop enriching uranium. For 4 years since 2004, the Bush administration has worked to obtain UN Security Council sanctions on Iran in order to get the Islamic Republic to stop enriching uranium. Iran also understands the U.S. wants them to stop funding terrorist organizations, including Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in the Gaza Strip. The U.S. has been equally clear about Iran meddling in Iraq. Virtually since the beginning of the Iraq War, the Bush administration has been using a wide variety of diplomatic forums to show evidence to the world that Iran has been funding terrorists in Iraq and supplying them with Iranian-made weapons. The Bush administration has managed to